Glad you were able to. Thank you. Glad you were made it out this way. I know everybody working and we had extra meetings, but I appreciate you making the effort and coming out. Hallelujah. We're talking about in our lessons on Wednesday night about Christ's triumphant church. The triumphant church. And you know, I'm thinking, unless, you've been living on the moon, you're aware of everything that's going on. And you know, we can have one or two responses. We can be like the world and respond in fear and anxiety because of everything that we see happening in our nation, the things that are happening in the world, the economic upheavals, all the stuff that's going on. Or we can respond in a different way and say, you know what? This is a great opportunity for the church to shine. This is a great opportunity for us to lift up the name of Jesus and the Word of God, which is the truth. You know, the Bible says, that if we build our life, if people build their lives on anything else other than Christ Jesus and the truth of God's Word, it is what? Shifting sand. And Jesus warned us. He said, the waves, the wind and the waves are going to come, didn't he? You know, the Bible never says, okay, you get saved, you'll never have another problem. Boy, I wish it did. Don't you? But you can't find that in the Bible. But it does say this, that if we build our house on the rock of Christ Jesus, faith in Him, on the rock of God's Word, then when the winds and the waves come, what? We're going to stand firm. And that's what's going to be the testimony of the church. And so we have a great opportunity. Rather than wringing our hands and saying, woe is me, and what are we going to do? You know, Jesus said, when you see all these things, what did He say do? He said, lift up your head and rejoice. Amen?
Yes.
So are you rejoicing over it? don't be tribulating. Okay? Don't be tribulating over it. So we are to be what? The triumphant church. We are to show forth the glory of God. And we've talked about some of the things, and I won't go through them again. You can buy the tapes or you can go on and listen online to it. But we talked about the last lesson about the purpose of the church's existence. We said, number one, it was what? To minister to the Lord. To minister to the Lord. The number one purpose is to minister to the Lord. Hey, I like it. That's simple, isn't it? You know what? I can do that. You know? I can do that. What does it mean to minister to the Lord? That means that you can just get by yourself. Then you can begin to pray. You can begin to fellowship. As Ephesians says, he says, you minister to the Lord in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen. To extolling God for His goodness, His faithfulness, His greatness, His love, His mercy. You start ministering to the Lord, and I'm telling you what, something's going to start happening on the inside of you. There's something that starts stirring on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit of God, the faith of God, the love of God, the hope of God, the dreams of God, they are reinvigorated, if you will, reanimated again. And all of a sudden, there begins to be a flow that comes out of you. You just begin to minister to the Lord. And we saw that one of the things is, as we practice this ministering, worshiping, ministering to the Lord, and we saw in different examples, one being in Acts 13, it says that, talked about Paul and Barnabas, and there were some others there, Simeon and Niger and so forth, different ones there in Acts 13, said as they fasted and prayed and ministered to the Lord, it says the Holy Ghost spake. He spoke. He spoke. He spoke. How many of you know we're getting into a time when hearing the voice of God is no longer going to be a nice little option? Come on. For too long, things going along pretty good, you're cruising along, kind of like on the interstates, you hit that about 70 or whatever the thing is there, and you hit that cruise control, and it's kind of nice, isn't it? You can cruise along like that for a while. But when things begin to be difficult, When things begin to happen in the earth like Jesus promised they would, when you in the last days we're living, when there's economic upheaval and political upheaval and all those things, and there's danger here and danger there, I'm going to tell you what, the institutions of man start to fail. That's when we're going to have to absolutely be tuned in and be able to have spiritual ears and hear what God is saying. Amen. We really are going to have to be the church, which is supernatural. Amen? Because the organization will not save you. Remember, we said the church is an organism. It's a living organism. So we talked about that. Remember, we mentioned this, that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Hallelujah. You know, I really think that in the age we live in, at least in my lifestyle, and there's a few of you who's got some years on me. I ain't going to call any names. Roger. Just kidding, brother. He raised his hand, so I know you wouldn't mind. But, you know, here's the thing. You know, I've never in my lifetime seen such a complicated era. Isn't it true? Things are so complicated, isn't it? You know, it just seems like the complication is multiplied. You know, and it's causing stress and on every hand and uncertainty, and people don't know. You know, and I think this is a great opportunity for us in the body of Christ to get back to our roots and to get back into to the simple truths of the gospel. We can tell people, look, listen, here's God's purpose for you. It is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. This is God's purpose. This is God's purpose. Because, you know, we can, you know, you can look, most of us look at the economic things that are taking place on Wall Street and the stock market, and most people don't understand. Listen, even most of the people that are running the thing, I mean, they're driving the bus and they don't know where we're going. Isn't that true? So it really gets complicated for most of us who are outside looking at the bus or just passengers on the bus. You know, it's so complicated. We need to, and this is our opportunity more than ever, and I believe we will see this more than ever, a cry going up for people. A cry, is there any stability? Is there anything we can rely on? Is there anything we can look to that is absolutely granite? I mean, is there any Rock of Gibraltar truths? Is there anything that we can tie our lives and our hopes and our dreams to? Because you know what? The American dream right now looks more like a nightmare, doesn't it? And again, I'm not trying to be critical, but I mean, you know, I'm just telling it like it is. And like I say, unless you've been living on another planet somewhere, you already know it anyway. You know, what the AIG, $85 billion bailout. Hallelujah. You know, all of these things happening. So here's the thing. What manner of men ought we to be now that we see these things approaching? Amen? And you know, if the world can see something in the church, something that's true, something that's real, something that's permanent because of who we belong to, then I want to tell you what, Jesus said what, people are going to be drawn to that. Amen. People are going to be drawn to that because there are hurting people out there, man. Yeah. You know? And I tell you what, when people start hurting in their pocketbook, hello. Yes, absolutely. That's right, hon. You get their attention. So we talked about that. We talked about how we worship God. How do we worship God? How do we minister to the Lord? And we talked about the worship. And when we worship, what our focus is on God and not on ourselves, isn't it? What is the benefit of worship? Well, there's many benefits, but I think the chief one is the one I just said, is that we get our eyes off of us, our thinking off of us, off of our problems, off of our circumstance, and what? We focus on Him. Amen. Amen. We focus on Him. I'm going to tell you what. If we're stressed out, if we're fearful, if we're anxious, if we're worried, if we're overtaxed like that, I want to tell you what. It could be maybe your focus is not what it ought to be. You need to be focused on God. We talked about that as part of ministering to the Lord, worshiping God. We talked about worshiping through music. We talked about we worship with our tithes and our offerings as we give it to God. And I want to tell you what, you know, because of the economic upheaval and situations going on, I'm going to tell you what. Listen, having your finances hooked up to God and the kingdom of God is no longer going to be an option either. I'm glad, bless God, I got a nest egg, bless God, and that nest egg is in the kingdom. Amen. I'm laying up treasures in heaven. Jesus said, where moth and rust do not get through. What do you mean? Now, they've never had a bank failure in heaven. Amen. Never had one there. They've never had a recession there. So more than ever, we need to understand our covenant with God when it comes to our finances. And He says, you bring the first fruits in as an act of worship. And He says, you're connected with the kingdom. You're connected. Your financial stability is connected to the kingdom. And no matter what happens, I'm going to tell you what. Did you know there's just as much wealth here now as there was 50 years ago? Amen. Just as much wealth here. You know, there's not a shortage of this or that or the other. Amen. It's still all here. I mean, as far as I know, they haven't been shipping it off to the moon. They haven't got it up in satellites orbiting. It's all still here. And you know what? God knows where it is. God knows how to access it. And God knows how to get it to you, little old Y-O-U. Isn't that right? Amen. Man, listen, if He could send a raven to find meat, knew where the meat was in the time of famine, He could send a raven to find meat every day, bring it down to the prophet so that the prophet could eat. Amen. Then bless God, I tell you what, He knows where to find the resources you need in your life. And here's the thing. As the world looks on and begins to panic, begins to be more fearful, begins to be more lack there, you know what? It's just like the children of Israel said when they were in Egypt. How many of you know we're living in Egypt? In the world? It says when we're living in Egypt, that all of the plagues that came on the Egyptians, it came on them. You know what? One of those plagues was what? Was the darkness. Remember, it was dark. Even in the middle of the day, it was dark. But it said, but there was light in the land of Goshen. Because in the land of Goshen, that was the area where the people of God were living. So no matter how dark it may get, in the land of Goshen, the people of God, there will be seen light and life. And it will be a testimony. You say, oh, that just seems like such a carnal thing. Well, listen, what do you think most people are thinking about right now that aren't saved? And probably most people that are saved. But especially the unsaved, what do you think's on their mind right now? Huh? M-O-N-E-Y. Theirs. Yeah, exactly. Either the lack of it or the fear of the lack of it. Isn't that true? So now, more than ever, we need to get hooked up into that. And it would be easy to get on that, but that's not my lesson. But we need to understand that. Listen, we're moving into a time where, listen, we've got to walk in the light. We've got to walk in the truth. We've got to hear from the Holy Spirit. We've got to walk as the church, not as some institution. But I'm talking about a living organism that's connected to the head, that has the indwelling spirit, that's connected vitally to one another, and we're there for one another. You know, you read when the church began in the book of Acts, they were under heavy persecution, weren't they? Heavy persecution. And you know what? That persecution has never stopped. The problem is we haven't known much of it here. But the persecution goes on. There are people, the church has been persecuted ever since it's been in existence. And all forms of types and forms of persecution. And so here's the thing. It can even in the beginning when the church started in Acts, you know what? It says that because of the political climate and everything that was going on, the attack of the enemy and everything that was going on, it said what? That the church, what? Grew stronger in the midst of it. They grew closer in relationships. They grew closer to God. They gave themselves more to God's word and to prayer. You know why? There was no other alternative. You know, the Bible says that in the last days, it said whatever can be shaken is going to be shaken. You know, like this song, you said a whole lot of shaking going on. And here's the thing. We should not be caught surprised or unawares. Isn't that right? And listen, if something can be shaken, then it needs to be. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I'm trying to help you. Because you know what? Whether I can tell you everything's going to be rosy and everything's wonderful and everything's great, but that don't make it. You know, we can pretend we're on the good ship Lollipop. You know, remember that old Shirley Temple song? On the good ship Lollipop. Yeah. You know, they could have sung that on Titanic, but it was going down, wasn't it? So here's the thing. We want to tie in to the church. Now tonight, continue talking about the purpose of the church, ministry to the saints, or Christ's body. Ministry to Christ's body. Why don't you turn over to Ephesians 4, chapter 4. We'll begin reading verse 9. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly region? He who descended is the very one who also ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Wow. God's big, isn't he? He said to fill the whole universe. When he ascended, he filled the whole universe. Let that sink in a minute. Sure makes that mortgage payment look small compared to the whole universe, doesn't it? That grocery bill looks small when what? Compared to the whole universe. To fill the whole universe, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. God made the church to be a self-sustaining organism, a self-perpetuating organism, a self-healing organism. God made the church in such a way that everything that is needed for life, for victory, for service to God, you know where it is? It's in the body of Christ. Thank you for your enthusiasm. That's where it is. No use us going. You know, he didn't say it's in. He said everything that's needed is in the latest church seminar. Nothing wrong with church seminars in their place. But here's the thing. We're looking to solutions somewhere else. Oh, if we can get over to where the latest move of God's happening. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But listen, he said, listen, the church is where God's resources abide. Why do we need one another? Well, because you in and of yourself don't have all the resources you need. You know, I've heard people say over the years, well, brother, pastor, all I need is Jesus, me and Jesus. I thought, well, what Bible are you reading? Come on. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. Now, that's what our culture has taught us. I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I don't need anybody. I'm an individual. Bless God. I can do it on my own. I can do it. The Bible calls that pride. And also, too, what it does is it separates. That kind of attitude separates. It does not unite. And he says here, he says, you got to understand. And, you know, one of the things that's got to happen is we've got to understand this in the body of Christ. In this passage of Scripture, we've got to understand how everything is interconnected. We're not independent of one another. We're interdependent of one another. And the sooner we understand that and accept that and begin to live and order our relationships and our life and the body of Christ accordingly, the sooner we'll see the wonderful, wonderful truths we've all read here probably many times begin to come to pass. Now, the first thing is we understand this, is we're connected to the head who has what? Ascended. The Bible says he's ascended. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Here in this translation, I like it because it says not only that, he's filled the whole universe. So here's the first thing we need to understand. We are connected to the head. We are connected to the head. And there is nothing as his body that we do that does not affect the head. Now, I know we find that hard to grab hold of because Jesus is way off up there. I thought the Bible said Christ in you, the hope of glory. Isn't that right? Didn't he say, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me? See, we don't understand that, I know, because, you know, I know by the way we treat one another sometimes. We all can say, oh, me and amen, can't we? But I'm just saying, you know, we need to understand that, because here's the thing. I can't treat you wrong and make Jesus like it. It's just not going to happen. Yeah, but you don't know what they did. Don't matter. He's still not going to like it. He said, you're supposed to forgive. Well, I did forgive him that one time. Well, he said 70 times 7. You know why he said that? Because he knows us. Doesn't he? Isn't that right? He knows us better than we know ourselves. We don't play all these games and everything, but the truth is, God knows us. And the first thing is we got to understand we're all interconnected. So here's the thing. My actions, my words, my prayer, or the lack of them, all these things are either ministering to the body, as he says here, or they are holding back ministry to the body. And if it holds back ministry to the body, then the body is weaker. And every time I don't hold back, but I minister out of what God's put in me, my gifts, my abilities, the love of God, the faith of God, the Spirit of God that's in me, all the things we know of. When I don't hold back and let those flow out in relationship to one another, then what? You're stronger, I'm stronger. Why do you think God is against division? You know what division's like? It's like this. It's like, let's say that I have a piece of property, a big piece of property on a river north of you, and you've got a big piece of property, but your property is south of me. So what I decide to do is build a great big old dam right up here. And guess what? I cut off all the water. Come on. You don't have any water. I dammed it all up. That's what divisions do. It's like building a dam. We build a dam. Say, okay, that's it. Now, you're not getting any more love out of me. Bless God, I'm telling you what, I'm tired of you. You're not getting any more forgiveness out of me. You're not getting any more prayers out of me. You're not going to get any more benefit, you know, of us being in relationship with one another. You're not going to get any more benefit of my prayer. Do you see what I'm talking about? And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to build dams. God wants to let the river flow. Amen. Isn't that right? Yes. But if we build dams up, we dam up, you know, and reservoir up within ourselves the grace of God, the love of God, the gifting of God, all the things God's put in us. And so what? The rest of the body is what? They are weaker. And you know how the enemy plays a trick on us? He wants to tell us that, you know, that our water is not that important. They're not going to miss your water. Come on. Does the enemy ever tell you that? Or is it just me always telling that? Oh, you're not going to make any difference. Nobody's going to. You don't have to be faithful. You don't have to pray. That, you know, that's for them other folks. That ain't going to matter. It's not going to matter. It's not. You know what rivers are formed from? Streams and creeks and little tributaries. You know, isn't that right? Streams and creeks. And tributaries, and they flow together. Even the mighty Mississippi is made up of that. And you know, if you went to the mouth of the Mississippi River somewhere up there in Minnesota, you know what? At the mouth, at where it begins, you could step over it. The Mississippi. But you get down there close to New Orleans, and you ain't gonna step over it, honey. Isn't that right? And we have to understand that as the body of Christ, it's that way. Yeah, if I just look at my little creek, if I just look at my little stream, my little giftings, my little, maybe my knowledge and wisdom, the things that I look at me, and, you know, and a lot of times we don't even assess that right. Isn't that true? Because without God and other people in our lives speaking into our lives, as human beings, you know what? We usually fall into one of two traps. We either think too little of ourselves or too much of ourselves. Isn't that true? That's what I found with people. We either have an inflated opinion of ourselves, or we have a way too poor opinion of ourselves. And somewhere in there is the truth. And so we need to understand that yes, maybe what I have is not the whole. It certainly isn't. It isn't the whole. But listen, he goes on here. He says, each part supplying. The body is built up as each part supplies. Well, wouldn't the converse of that be true? Wouldn't the body be diminished by that which each part fails to supply? Isn't that right? If for some reason I allow, you know, a hurt or an offense or something, how many of you know those things come? Nobody in here has ever been offended by anybody, have they? In the body. That's what I thought. Nobody. It's going to happen, isn't it? But what we got to do, if we got to say, okay, what? You know, the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, the purpose of God is bigger and greater and more important than my little old rights. Yes, you may have a right to be offended. You may have a right to feel this way. We all feel that way, don't we? Initially, our flesh. But here's the thing. We've got to understand we are interconnected. You know, I always say it this way humorously, you know. I can't hit your big toe with a sledgehammer and make your head like it. It's just not going to work. The head's not going to say, well, that don't bother me. You didn't hit me. Isn't that true? And we've got to understand that we're that vitally connected in the body of Christ. Notice what he says here. You know, he talks about the ministry gifts and everything. And he said, that's what to prepare God's people for works of service. I brought my 26 translation here. I want to read some different translations. Because, you know, sometimes when you word it a little bit different, it strikes you different, doesn't it? Listen to this. He says, Ephesians 4. Notice what he says, verse 12. Yeah, let me get over there. Okay, listen to this. He said, talking about the ministry gifts, with a view to fit to the fitting of the saints for the work of ministering. That's Rotherham's. Conybeare says, for the perfecting of the saints to labor in their appointed service. Another translation says, in order to equip the saints for the work of serving. For the work of serving. What God has deposited in you and in I, He put it there that it might be used for the benefit of the body. See, sometimes we think, you know, because, you know, we're saved, we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it's so glorious to be saved, isn't it? It's glorious to be saved. Oh, wow, man. If you forgot that, you need to go back and remember what it was like. You need to go back occasionally and remember what it was like. It's great. And then you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you're like, oh, glory to God. It can't get any better than this. So good. But here's the thing. While there is benefit in that for you, it doesn't stop there. Okay? Because Jesus not only said that salvation in the Holy Spirit would be like a well, He also said it would be like a river. Now we know what a well is stationary, isn't it? But a river is flowing out. And I think this, that sometimes that all we do in the body of Christ, or many people do, is we just live and draw from the well. We draw from the well. In other words, the benefit for ourselves, the benefit of being a part of the body of Christ and all that. And that's wonderful. But here's the thing. We need to go the next step. And he says, understand that we're all connected one to another. And he said, there needs to be a flow going out. So, you know, here's the thing. We can't do it without God. Amen? And He won't do it without us. You say, why did he? You'll have to talk to him about that. It doesn't make sense to me either. But that's the way he said. He said it's going to be the body, his church. He said, you're the light of the world. Isn't that right? said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He said, you know that we are to be that righteous leaven in the earth. We are to be the bearers of His name. We are His people. And if I withhold from you, then I'm withholding from Him. Boy, I tell you what, you get your money's worth right there tonight. If you just think about that, meditate on that. However I treat His body, I'm treating Him. Whatever I withhold from you, I'm withholding from Him. Whatever I refuse to give out freely, okay, to you, that I'm refusing to give to Him. That's a powerful thought, isn't it? Notice what he says here. He says that the body of Christ may be what? Built up. Built up. Built up. Listen, how are we going to be built up if we become a reservoir, if we build a dam in our life, as it were? And we're not going to enter into relationship. We're not going to enter into fellowship. We're not going to allow the river that God's put in us to flow out to everybody else. If we don't do that, he said, the body will not be built up. You don't know how the body's going to be built up here at Grace? By doing this very thing. That's how it's going to be built up. It's not going to be built up because, you know, the pastor's got some super duper duper super duper duper anointing and message for you. Here's the thing, it's going to be built up when what? We grab hold of this truth. And we understand, hey, it's not just about, you know, the apostle, prophet, and so forth. It's also about what? All of us as members of the body. As we give what we have. Notice what he says here. He says, may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Wrap your thinking around that for a minute. He says God's intention is that the body may come to a point and place where it's revealing the fullness of Christ. Your mind doesn't understand that, no more mine does. How can it be? But here's the thing, that's what He's called us to do. We've got to understand right now, it's not going to come because, you know, there's some special outpouring in a particular place. And if we can, how are you going to get everybody there anyway? If that's God's method, then, you know, then how in the world is everybody going to get to any one particular place all at the same time? How are we going to do that? You know, wherever it is. Thank God for those outpourings. But we can't all, the whole body of Christ can't get to them. So if that's what's going to do it, I think what that is it's God's kind of God's dinner bell trying to spark some hunger, saying, hey, you can have it too. But, you know, not just in a geographic locale, but you can have this too. He says we're all going to grow up into the measure of the fullness of Christ Jesus. Listen to this. I want to read in chapter 4 there. I want to read that same verse 13. Listen. From Good Speech. He says, and reach mature manhood and that full measure of development found in Christ. Whoa. Another translation says, to mature manhood measured by nothing less than the full stature of Christ. So here's the thing. What's the measuring stick? You know, many times Paul admonished the church at Corinth not to do this. He said, you're comparing yourselves among yourselves. And he said, that's unwise. Because again, as I said, what happens when we compare ourselves among ourselves? We will either compare ourselves with people and think too highly of ourselves, or we'll compare ourselves with people and think too little of ourselves. But the measuring stick is not whoever we may deem as the most spiritual person in the church. The measuring stick is Christ Himself. He said, that's what the body. He said, this is where God wants you to bring you to the measure of the fullness of Christ, the fullness of His love, the fullness of His mercy, the fullness of His compassion, the fullness of His righteousness, the fullness of His power. That's what He's got for the church. And that's when we will begin to make a mark on this world. Amen? Notice he says here in verse 16. Well, let's pick it back up in verse 14. He said, then we will no longer be infants tossed back to and fro by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. In other words, what did he say? He said he wants a church that absolutely is built on the truth. That absolutely we cannot be moved. We cannot be moved by every, you know, he says, every little thing that happens, you know. You know, in our culture, you know, the culture is all about fads, isn't it? The latest fad, latest gadget, latest style, latest this, latest haircut, latest this, that, or the other. You know, we're all about fads. We're all about being in style. We're all about being up to date. We're all about, you know, and you know, and some of that stuff, it may be, that may not be a problem, but here's the thing. He says here in the church, he says there's going to come all these other things that's going to try to pull people away. Oh, you know, we've got some new truth over here. Oh, we've got something new over here. We've got something, you know, that's so new. Nobody before, the Apostle Paul never knew this. You know, well, I'm telling you what, if you get out that far, you're out far, way out beyond me. And I have a feeling you're way out in left field somewhere too. Isn't that right? While certainly we want to grow in our knowledge and gain new insight, here he's talking about he wants a church that is built on the truth that is solid. That no matter what the culture says, I mean, the culture can say it's okay in certain cases. You can abort. You can take lives. You can abort those babies. I mean, after all, let's understand this and this and this. Well, you know, it's a, you know, truth. I mean, there's certain situations, you know, where things are relative. You know, well, I can tell you whose relative they are, too. There's a devil's relative, aren't they? The devil deals in relative. Amen. God deals in relationship, you know, because truth is based on that. So he said, you would be a church. God's purpose for the church as we minister to one another, we'll build up this way. And he said, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. How are we going to be built up? As each part does its work. Here's the thing. You know, you ought to find out how God has gifted you. If you don't already know, you need to find out. You say, I don't know what I should be doing. Well, find out what kind of gift God's given you. Because your gift is an indication of your call. And it will also be a place where you will be fruitful. So if you need to find out, what am I gifted? How has God gifted me? That's an indication of where your place is. Amen? Amen. And listen, no place is more important or less important. It's just different. It's just diverse. And the body of Christ is unity in diversity. Isn't that right? Just like the human body. It's diversity. We don't all have to look the same way. God's not making Christian, you know, got a Christian cookie cutter out, you know. Now, sometimes we try to do that, don't we? We're going to try to get everybody to be just like us. I mean, as wonderful as I am, why wouldn't you want to be, right? But here's the thing. We need to understand that each one of us, though, if we don't do our part, what? The body. I mean, this is what the Word says. The body is not going to be built up. We're not going to reach maturity. We're still going to be dealing with the same old petty stuff we've been dealing with for the last generation, the last 10 years, last 30 years, last 40 years. We're still going to be dealing with the same old thing. They said, he said, they didn't do, they did this, they hurt me, they didn't hurt me. You know, how are we ever going to get anywhere? I mean, every generation, it's like we're having to start over again. Could you imagine that if what if culture was that way? What if every generation... It had to start completely over. Somebody had to think up and invent the wheel again. And then we had to move from there. Where would we ever get anywhere? How would we ever get anywhere? But so often at times in the body of Christ, it's that way. We can't seem to move forward. We read these words. I read them. You read them. We marvel at them. We long for them. We look for them. We pray about them. We think about them. But here's the thing. How do we get there? Not until we start doing it. Isn't that true? We've got to start exercising. This is why it's so important for you to find what God has gifted you. How has God gifted you? And begin to use it. Begin to use it. If you're not sure, come talk to me. Come talk to some of the other people in the church. We'll tell you how to do it. Amen. We'll tell you exactly how to do it. Where you can get busy. Get started. Get doing it. You know, one of the ways we can do that is what? Is we can speak words of grace to one another, can't we? We can speak words that edify and build one another up. We can speak words of faith over one another, can't we? We can be there to encourage. We can be there to lift up. We can pray one for another. Everybody can do that. You don't have to have any particular spiritual gift. You just got to be a Christian. Amen? If you're just a Christian, you ought to be doing that. That's the minimum. I mean, every time people see you coming, they ought to be thinking, "Oh man, there comes Gaynell out. Listen, I'm looking forward to it, man." You know why? Because they know what she's gonna have a good word for me. She's gonna say something kind about me. You know, I don't need her to come inside in with what the devil's been telling me all week about what a bad person I am and I'm this and I'm that. I mean, he's already telling me that. I'm already getting beat over the head with that from the devil. I don't need, you know, somebody else to come along. I need somebody to come along. What? To edify. The word edify means to build up, doesn't it? We're to build one another up. Isn't that right? We say, man, you know, you can make it. Man, what a blessing you are. You belong to God. You're just like us. You're one of God's kids. You're one of God's favorites. God's blessings on you. God's promises are for you. You know, God believes in you and I believe in you. You know, we need to start believing in one another, don't we? It's amazing the power of just that. And I think this, if we create that culture in the church, listen, people are going to come in. People are going to come in. People are going to be drawn to that because people are looking for a place, a safe place, a safe house, a place where they can come and they know this. You know what? They're going to be told, look, God cares about you. God believes in you. We believe in you. I don't care. I don't care where you're coming from. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what the enemy's done, the havoc he's wrecked in your life. I got good news for you. God cares about you, and so do we. And we're here for you. We believe in you. We believe that God has a plan for you. We can build. And you know what? We need to practice that on one another, don't we? You know, God. You know, the devil's already telling us what a knucklehead we are. You know, and then on top of that, we beat ourselves up that way too, don't we? So here's the thing. We need edification. We're getting enough beaten on by the enemy, you know, but we need to edify one another. You know, and I believe this. When we come to church and we know we're going to be edified, we know we're going to be with people who believe in us and the God in us, who believe in God's plan, who are there to lift us up, to pray for us, to encourage us. I'm going to tell you what. Hey, I might want to come to a meeting like that. I might want to be involved with people like that. Hadn't you? Sure. That's what it's about. We're talking about the purpose of the church, and we're talking about it is to minister to the body. We're to be built up in holiness of character, to conform into His image, as we've just seen. How are we going to do that? One way, by the Holy Spirit. But turn over to Acts. I've got just a few more minutes here. My time's almost gone. How you doing out there? Doing okay? I'm going to put you to sleep. Acts 20, verse 32, Paul is speaking. He's stopped by to speak to the elders at Ephesus. And he's shared a number of things, but I'm going to skip down to just to verse 32 and look at one thing as he's about to go. His farewell sermon, I guess you could say, or message to them. He said, "Now I commit you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." All those who are sanctified. You know, what that says to me, number one, of course, is I have a personal responsibility to what? To get into this book called the Bible. You have a personal responsibility to get in here for ourselves. But also it tells me this, that because this word is able to build us up, that this should be what we are speaking one to another. You know, you say, "Well, I don't know what to say." Well, just say the word. Just say what the word says. Did you? hey, remember, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are a brand new creature. All things are passed away. Everything's brand new in your life. God's not mad at you anymore. The blessing of God is upon you. God has a plan and a purpose for you, because he said over there in Ephesians 2 that God has prepared good works for you to do. And that God who prepared those good works has prepared you for them. And he that's begun a good work in you, you know what? You don't have to figure it all out. He's going to finish it. He's going to complete it. He's going to finish what he started. Amen. You know, sometimes, you know, we are more honest with the sinner than we are with the saint. I don't know if that's exactly the way to do it, but I'll explain it and you can come up with a better way of saying it. But by that, what I mean is, we talk to the sinner and we say, you know, you come on in. Doesn't matter what you've done, matter where you've been. It doesn't matter. God's grace is sufficient. The blood of Jesus is enough. God loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been. You just come on just like you are. Isn't that what we tell them? I hope you do. We do that. But as soon as they get in, oh Lord, don't mess up. Thou shalt be excommunicated. Come on. And if you mess up, we're going to make sure everybody knows it. If they hadn't heard about it, we're going to make sure they do. And then we're going to wonder why they don't stay in fellowship and they don't get restored. Come on. What's wrong there? Are you telling me that God loves the sinner more than he loves the saint? But sometimes, isn't that the way it appears? I mean, you know. I like what Dad Hagin used to say. He said, even old hog will stop coming to the trough to eat if you keep beating it over the head every time. Isn't that true? So here's the thing. What are we going to do? We're going to give grace to the hearer. Does that mean that God never will correct us and that God will not? No, of course he will. But here's the thing. In the midst of all that, what? The love of God comes through. In the midst of all of the things that happen in our life, we have to understand, you know what? God is there. His word is true. And we need to speak God's word to one another. Amen. Amen. Yes. Words of grace, seasoned with salt. But we speak words that build up and edify one another. Paul said, I commit you to it. And here's the thing. We ought to be saying the same thing to one another. Listen, brother, sister, I commit you to the Word of God, which is able to build you up. I promise you, God's Word is going to prove true in your life. God's going to put you over. God's promise will be true. God's grace is sufficient. I promise you, what God said, He will do. He's not going to leave you. You're not going to go under. God's with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. You commit yourself to that Word because it'll build you up. It'll put you over. Amen? If we can do that, then that's part of what we're doing, is what we're ministering one to another. Amen. And of course, we're called to minister to the lost too, aren't we? Minister to the lost. My time's up, so I don't have time to get into that, but we need to minister. Learn that a part of our purpose is to minister to the lost. Amen? Amen? Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. We got to start with one another. If I can't love you enough to minister to you, who's a brother or sister in the Lord, how in the world am I going to minister to people out there who are the ungodly? Isn't that right? Man, it should be. And here's the thing. Why don't we just agree to make it easy on one another? By what I mean by that, I mean, listen, let's just make it easy for us to minister one to another. Let's just, you know, don't be all prickly. You know what I mean by that? Don't be a porcupine Christian, all prickly. You know, let's allow people into our lives. Let's allow people to come into relationship and fellowship. Let's allow people to speak into our lives. Amen. And then here's the thing: let's do it. Always do it in love, knowing this, that listen, even if they are going through a tough time, even if they did make a mistake, even if they did miss it, hey, you never have you? That's what I thought. So here's the thing. Treat them the way what you would want to be treated. if you'd missed it, if you'd have done something, you know, let's don't run people off. Amen. Let's build people up. That's part of what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. Well, my time's up. It always goes fast. It goes fast when you're up here. Does it? Bless your heart. Yeah. You learned the lesson well, didn't you? Hallelujah. You got it, Gaynell. Go, girl. Hallelujah. But it's so important. You know, and as basic as this is, you know, this is really where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? I mean, it's great to be in special meetings and to see things happen and all, and that's wonderful. I'm all for that. And, you know, the more God wants to do it, it'll be all right with me. But, you know, even in the Scriptures, you know, people weren't seeing angels every day. You know, Peter's shadow didn't fall on people every day and heal them. I mean, those things happened, but it didn't happen every day. But I want to tell you what we're talking about here is an everyday thing, isn't it? In relationship with one another every day, week in and week out, loving on one another, building one another up, helping one another to move through the crisis and the tests and the things in life. And if we fall down, man, we're there not to kick you, but to help you up. Amen? That's really where it's at. That's where we got to live out every day. You know, the old mundane every day, you know. Probably wasn't any spiritual lightning bolts for most of us today. It's probably pretty routine, wasn't it? But you know what? Still, we are the body. We can minister. We can reach out to people. And it starts with reaching out to one another. Amen? So, if you put some dams up in your... And listen, the enemy will try to do that, you know. He'll try to get you to dam up. You know, the grace of God, the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the faith of God, all the fruit of the... He tried to get you to box all that in. You know, through hurts and things like that. Here's the thing, let's just clear it out. Man, just take you a big old hammer, you know. The prophet over there said, your word was like a hammer. We need to take a hammer and just tear down, the hammer of God's word, and tear down every dam that's been built up in our lives, you know. Because, listen, we've all been hurt. And we've all hurt. Most of the time, not intentionally. But that's the way it is. We're human, aren't we? But if we can just say we're going to tear down all these dams that hurts and the enemy's trying to pull up, and let our water flow. Amen? Let it flow to one another. What a difference it'll make. Amen? All right. The guys are going to serve you. If you want an envelope for your giving, they're going to pass out the envelopes and give you a chance to give real quickly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just obey, right? You know what Brother Danny taught us? Just obey. Obey. Whatever God says to do. As the mother of Jesus said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. That's still good, wise counsel, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Well, let me pray over it. If you're giving, you hold your gift there. I'm going to pray over it and offer it up to God. Father, thank you for the ability to give back to you. Lord, we do it as an act of love, as an act of worship, to minister to you. We thank you. Father, I thank you that we are a body, one loaf, connected to you and connected to one another. God, let this truth resonate in our hearts and in our minds, that we may walk it out. We may walk it out before you and before men. In Jesus' name. Okay, guys, serve the people, and then we're going to let you go. Let you get home and get a good night's rest and be ready to go for tomorrow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. appreciate your giving. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. We're all done? Nope. One more. Two more. All right. Thank you, guys. You stand on your feet. I'll dismiss you here. Hallelujah. We are the church, His body. Amen. As you go out here tonight, don't you forget that. You are connected to the head. The head is connected to you. Amen. Yes. You know, if you think about it, in your own body, your head is totally committed to the rest of your body. Yes. Isn't it? Yes. That's the way Jesus does. But here's the thing. But we are connected to Him and to one another. And what I say and what I do, it affects Him and all of us. Amen. May we keep that close to our hearts and our minds. Father, thank You for this truth, Lord, revisited. And Lord, may we catch a greater understanding of the reality of it. Not only our connection to You, from whom we draw our life, but also that we are interdependent and connected one to another. And what I say and what I do or what I fail to say or do, it does make a difference. Lord, use us to build up the body. Help us to understand, Lord, not to think too highly of ourselves, but not to think too low either, but to recognize how You've gifted us, recognize how You've placed us in the body. And Father, we're going to break out all the dams. We're going to break them down. Anything that's dammed up, Your grace from and gifts from flowing in our life, we're going to break that down in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for this precious people. I bless them. I thank You for them. Lord, may they be used by You wherever they go tomorrow. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a restful night.